Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yes, we're so glad that you guys are here.
Thanks for hopping online with us. We're beyond excited for the chance to get to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead and get comfy, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We repping Dallas over here, but we want y'all to represent too.
Now we've got a great service planned for you guys, so let's get into it. Enjoy service.
Enjoy!
Come on.
It's time for worship. Let's worship our King, all right? Let's get serious about Him. Let's get really serious about Him. Let's get really serious about our relationship with Him. Let's get really serious about this moment with Him. We don't want to miss Him, right? We want to invite Him in. And so worship is that time. It just is. It's that time where you can be really intimate with Him. Tell Him your fears. Tell Him what's on your mind. Tell Him where you've been struggling. Tell Him I'm sorry. Whatever it is that you need to tell the Father, go ahead and do that. On the inside, you can do that. On the outside, you can do that. All right? Let's worship Him. Let's love on Him. Let's tell Him how much we adore Him and are grateful and thankful to Him for what He's done for you individually. And you best believe if He's working in your life, He's working in all these other people's lives too. He's a personal God. So whatever you need, ask. Ask. And if it's in His will, it will come to pass. Amen.
Triumph, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory.
Lift your voice.
I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Say it again.
I'm gonna see you.
I'm gonna see one run from you.
Thank you.
see a victory.
For the battle is yours.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
There's nobody else who can do that for you but Jesus, but God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you. You may be seated. You may be seated.
Hello, my name is Jameer Harris, and I'm here with
Blake Evans. So, Jameer, what is Fuse?
Well, Fuse are a group of students who are committed to being faithful and useful servants who are examples for the kingdom.
F stands for faithful to Jesus. U stands for useful to Jesus.
The S stands for servants of Jesus.
E stands for examples for Jesus.
My name is Kyle Bell.
My name is Kyle Bell.
Kyle, what do Fuse members even do?
Well, for starters, we serve every Sunday and Wednesday, and that's before, during, and even after service.
Well, along with that, we have a Bible and theology class with a planned summer reading book.
And on top of that, we have two community service events with nonprofit organizations like Youth World, where we serve those who are in need. And on top of that, we have one fun event like Main Event or Group Dynamics.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Hello, Next Gen family.
Hey, family, and thank you for joining us today for our Next Gen Youth Service. Can y'all believe we're already halfway through another month? Wow.
Yeah, and before you know it, we'll all be back in school. So who's ready?
Okay, family, we're continuing our series on faith, and we have really been getting fed and getting practical ways to live out our faith.
Yes, it's been really good. Well, friends, don't forget to take notes so you'll have something to go back to when you're needing a reminder.
It's time for the real in Next Gen. Next Gen Wednesday Night Lives. Are y'all coming out? Our Wednesday Night Lives are different each week.
Summer Wednesday Night Lives will be full of surprises, so don't miss out. Our Hot Topic Nights have been really good.
Yeah, I agree.
If you have not been coming, this is your sign to come out and enjoy midweek service with your peers and have fun growing in your faith.
Next Gen Kingdom servants and staff have been preparing for a big surprise for Wednesday Night Live on July 26th, so we hope to see you there.
All selected models, you have practice right after service on the second floor youth room, so please bring your heels. In the Paint is looking for volunteer makeup artists. If you're interested, please email nharris@ocbfchurch.org.
We're also looking for student volunteers to serve during In the Paint. If you're interested, please stop by the information desk to talk to Miss Candace.
Are you interested in joining Fuse? The time is now. Deadline to join and remain on the Fuse team is Sunday, July 23rd. Please see Mr. Isaac to find out more about growing this team.
Calling all TikTok creators, we want you to lead us in learning some fun and clean TikTok challenges that we can showcase in service. If you're interested, stop by the Next Gen information table to sign up.
Calling all young men grades 6 through 12, sign-ups for the Real Men Mentorship opens in July. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, grow in your understanding of biblical manhood, and have fun while doing it, then Real Men is for you. Sign-ups begin in July and end July 31st. See Mr. Ryan for more details.
Let's remember to put all phones and earbuds away and other distractions away during our service time. Also, please remove all hoodies. We want to see your face. Let's give God the respect and honor that He deserves. If you need a Bible, please see a Kingdom servant.
Okay, family, that's the real in Next Gen.
Enjoy service. Bye.
Good morning, Next Level. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Good morning, Next Level. One more time. Good morning, Next Level. Man, I don't know about you, but this summer, it has been so crazy, the amount of Amber Alerts I have received on my phone. And it helps me to be very grateful for each and every one of y'all that's sitting here, because we should never take it for granted, just in terms of God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy, in terms of allowing y'all to be safe, allowing y'all to be sound. And it's crazy because when you look at this summer, not only have there been a lot of Amber's Alert, but there's also been a lot of shooting. Like, it's crazy if you're looking at, if you're paying attention, like in Chicago. So each and every day that you're breathing, each and every day that you're alive, each and every day that you have a sound mind, you have a reason to be grateful. As we come to offering, you have to understand, offering is an act of obedience. Offering is an act of faith. Offering is an act of worship. Faith, obedience, worship. We obey God because we trust Him. We have faith, even if your money acting funny, your change is strange. But because God tells you to do something, you trust Him that He will be faithful. And listen, if God did not do another thing for you, He have already done so much for us. Because while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. God loves us. God has great plans for us. So when we have an opportunity to worship in giving, we do it with joy. We do it with a grateful attitude. We do it not out of compulsion, not because somebody forces you, somebody tell you, but you do it because God, you've been so good. There is no God like you. God, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. And it is an honor. It is a privilege for us to worship to our giving. So if anybody is excited about offering, can you jump up? You may not have much, but your attitude of gratitude. Let me try again. If anybody's excited about worship, can you jump up? Listen. Listen. Jesus was observing, and there was this lady, she only had two mites. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody else because of her attitude. So right now, even if you don't have much, as we're coming for offering, come here, Lewis. Even if you don't have much, I want, when the music starts, we got Miss Angela in the back, we got Miss Gloria, follow direction, I want you to come with a smile, even if you don't have much, because you want to develop an attitude of gratitude, a spirit of thankfulness, as you worship, as you have faith, and as you obey God. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Man, what a privilege it is, God, that you invite us to partner up with you, God, so that we can be light and we can be salt. We thank you, God, for each and every person that is represented. We thank you, God, for the offering that has been offered. And even, God, we are so grateful for a church that is having kingdom impact on this world. Lord, as we prepare to hear words, speak to our hearts. Help us not to only be hearers, but doers of your word. We thank you, we praise you, we exalt you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Good morning, Jacob Marsall, and I'll be reading to you guys for our guest speaker today. Claude R. Bailey II was born on Fort Sill Military Base to Claude and Joanne Bailey. He became Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship's Director of Missional Life following 6 years in Africa, holding positions as CEO of New Beginnings Orphanages International and South African Community Engagement Director for the Impact Movement. Most recently, he has been named OCBF's Director of Hospitality. As a Morgan State University Communications degree graduate, Claude began evangelizing on radio platforms and on national/international stages. Claude continues these various platforms and recently was presented with the Evantel's 2016 Matthew 4:19 Award. honoring Claude's heart for the lost and the way that God is using him to train up disciples to evangelize to others. Claude has over 25 years of experience walking and mentoring and discipling in discipleship relationships. This focus developed during his teenage years at OCBF, while steering his life by the principles found in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. He enjoys various sports, cultures, music, and cuisine with his wife, Michelle, and two sons and one daughter. So everybody, please give a warm welcome to Brother Claude Bailey.
Y'all awake? Good morning, everybody. Good morning. All right. Okay, it's all right, as long as we know where we are. Well, folks, let's pray, and then I've just got something simple to talk, something I think everybody can relate to. All right, so let's pray. Father, we just come to you now, just thanking you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is practical. We thank you that your word is real, and it is something that meets us with what we have to deal with on an everyday basis throughout our lives. Father, we just ask in this time that everything would be clear, that it would connect with everybody right where they are via your spirit, and that your word would stand supreme above everything else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks. Keeping it real simple. What we're going to continue is talking about relationships. I know you guys been talking about relationships for a little while. Over these past few weeks, you know, I'm glad to hear some of the topics, you know, dealing with gender issues and all those different things. But it's the recognition that relationships are difficult. Relationships are tough. And we've got everybody in every situation, whether it's traditional media, social media, your friends, people in high school, people you don't like, everybody's got something to say about how relationships should look. They should say it on the time frame you're supposed to be doing certain things. You know, what's a good boyfriend, a girlfriend? What's a good friend? They're talking about all these different dynamics. But in order for us to be able to do this right, we got to know what God said about it. And so as we hear all these different voices and have all these different challenges, we see pictures on TV and movies and all of those different things. As we continue talking about relationships this morning, Jesus in John 10:10 said, he came so that we might have life to a full. Now, all these movies and all that, they talk about what the good life is. And they tell us that we're supposed to get the good life. And you know, you see pictures on social media saying, hey, these are snapshots of what it's supposed to be like so that you have this great experience. But Jesus said again, John 10:10, I came that you might have life that was full and overflowing. So we're going to talk about that in the context of relationships. Now, I'm really going to come to you from two chapters in the Bible, both of them in the New Testament. We don't have enough time to go into all the ins and outs of both chapters, but both chapters actually talk about relationships and have different highlights that I want to bring to the table today talking about relationships. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about relationships from a whole different perspective of singleness, married, all of the different nuances, how you understand it. And so the first question or the first idea I want to bring to the table from 1 Corinthians 7 is everybody was given a gift from God. A place. What that gift means is you're giving a place. So everybody in this room doesn't need to be married. That's just a reality. Because marriage is a gift. But it's like any gift, you can be given something, but are you prepared for it? Are you ready even to be able to handle everything that goes on with relationships in a marriage context? But also, everybody in this room don't need to be single. And you got to understand how you line up and what your gift. And so scripture jumps in and talks about that. And If we look at verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 7, it says, Paul, the Apostle Paul says, I wish everybody was like me, but God has given each one a gift, and you've got to know your kind, where you stand. Now, this is a hard thing, because we know Genesis 3 happened, the fall, right? And if we remember Genesis 3, how did Genesis 3 happen? What took place? Well, to use Beyonce terms, they were trying to do an upgrade. They were in a garden. There was paradise. And even though God was telling them everything that needed to go on, they were walking with God in the cool of the day, they needed to determine what was good and evil for themselves so that they could upgrade their situation. So that they could be in a better place. And the reality is, ever since that time, from eating with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we've actually had more trouble determining what was good from that time, because now we have to do it on our own. Prior to that time, whenever God created something, at the end of it, he said it was good. And there was really no more other words about that. You don't actually hear any discussion, but now you have to have discussion, debate, you got to do research and insight, you got to, you know, on the negative side, you almost got to stalk somebody to find out who they are. Who are you dealing with? Now, I'm not saying that you stalk, but you have to pay so much attention to who you are relating with, in order to be able to find out the genuine person that you're dealing with. And so he's talking about this, and so trying to now figure out what's good without God. Well, again, God's handing out the assignments. He's handing out the gifts. And so we've got to be able to process this. And Paul says, in order to do that in verse 8, we've got to take inventory of what's going on with us. We've got to do self-evaluation of what's going on with us to know if it's good to remain single or it's good to actually step into a relationship. This ain't even getting to the point of marriage. This is just getting into a relationship. Ultimately, yeah, Paul's talking about marriage, but the reality is relationships, as I said, open are difficult. Knowing who you're dealing with, knowing yourself. And see, the challenge is, if you don't know yourself, if you don't know your boundaries, if you don't know your limitations, when you step in and you start trying to roll with somebody else, intermingle with somebody else, you can actually get yourself caught up. Because you don't know what's good for you. You don't know what's safe for you. You don't know what you say no to you about. It's challenging because verse 9 goes into this whole idea of self-control. Because some people are going to get married because they don't have self-control. Now, what's that self-control about? That self-control has to do with sexuality. They are going to get married because they don't know how to keep control of themselves. So they're going to jump into a situation with somebody else who doesn't have the ability to determine good, just like they don't have the ability to determine good. And then there's going to be some issues. Because both of y'all are going to be in trying to figure out what's good for me and what's good for us. And trying to figure out what's good for me is tough enough. But now you got to figure out what's good for me and what's good for us. And especially when you have a situation where what this other person likes doing, well, I'd never tried it before, so I don't know. But now I figured out it isn't what I like doing. But now you're in the relationship because there wasn't self-control. And see, Proverbs 25, I believe it's 25:28, talks about the reality of this self-control issue. 25:28, and you can look that up on your own, but it basically says anybody who doesn't have self-control is like a city that's without walls. What that basically means is that you are defenseless and can be attacked from any direction at any time, and there's really nothing that you can do about it. Because you don't know what's going on with you. You don't know how to put boundaries and protections up for you in order just to be able to say, hey, this is healthy for me. So now when somebody else comes into the picture, well, they're doing stuff and you don't know what's healthy for you, their stuff starts affecting you. Along with that, you have the reality that you have to do the work for a relationship before the relationship. Because here's what it is. Just like anything else, any other, do NFL champions come to be NFL champions without two-a-days? Does LeBron just show up at playoffs and play then? The reality is you have to do some work by yourself in the gym before you get with the team. If your shot is struggling, if the way you're catching a ball is struggling, whatever your sport, if your steps in track are struggling, you have to do that individually before you get with the team so that you can know how to catch the baton because your steps are right. And so that's what Colossians 3 gets into, because Colossians 3 talks about relationships too. It talks about husband-wife relationships. It talks about parent-kid relationships. It talks about boss-worker relationships. But before you get into all of that, it says you have to put off and put on, which means, interesting, in that put off is put on, it's saying, hey, you got to deal with your anger. You got to deal with your expectations. You got to deal with all these different issues, presuppositions that don't match up with what a healthy relationship looks like. And then you got to turn around after you got rid of some stuff, you got to replace it with some stuff. Because in Matthew, Jesus lets us know if you clean the house but don't fill it back up with some stuff, you can actually end up in a worse condition. So it says you got to put on some stuff. You got to put on love. You got to put on patience. You got to learn how to deal with people. Because what ends up happening is once you get back around to a relationship and you start a relationship, especially if you go to marriage level relationship, if you haven't done the work and are able to clearly evaluate that somebody else also has done the work, now you may end up putting up with some stuff because once you have now agreed on the relationship, Galatians 6 says, hey, you got to deal and bear with people who are immature, have problems, all that, because now you brought them in relationship. And God doesn't believe in just breaking relationships and just doesn't walk off because what? Even as Sam just mentioned. Well, he starts relationships when people doing the most. While we were sinners, Christ died. So if he'll start there, and that's what he believes, especially if you're going to name yourself as a Christian, as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, you got to recognize, okay, I've got to do the work for me in order to be able to recognize what's real in somebody else, because there's something that at least we used to say growing up, real recognizes real. If you saying you doing X, Y, and Z, well, all right, it'll come out. We'll see. We'll see how you carry it. And so with those realizations, hey, you got to do that work. And the interesting thing is, it's not somebody else doing the work, because Colossians 3 says, you put for your situation, your issues. So it's not that you get into a relationship so somebody else can fix your issues and somebody else can, as Jerry Maguire likes to say, complete you. It's you do the work so that you complete you. And now when you are going in, you can complete the picture that God has for the relationship going forward. So that people can see what it's like to be healthy. See what it's like to still have friends and not be worried about jealousy and all this, because you doing your thing, you walking in your giftedness, and your partner has different giftedness than you, and y'all not sitting there bumping and fighting and stuff because you don't make room for each other and how you're gifted, how you're passionate. You've got to consider the things that you have as goals. I'll get into it a little later because I want to share a little bit about my testimony, because as you heard even from Jacob, I've sat where you sat. I understand. There's probably nothing that you can say to me that I haven't seen or experienced, because I wanted to take it to the limit so I could learn my limits. I've been places, but it's determinant. Am I really good as a result of doing the work? So I'm not worried about what somebody else is bringing to the table. And even if they do bring something unnecessary to the table, I know I'm still good and I can be able to handle it if they're doing the most. But for that, you also gotta know where you fall in line. And can you evaluate if somebody else is falling in line? So, practically speaking, who are you submitting to? Who are you listening to? Because in talking about those relationships in Colossians 3, in verse 17, verse 23, verse 24, verse 25, it all says, hey, you've got to remember that you are not the final authority, even concerning the person that you're dealing with. Because hopefully if you're in relationship, especially if you're talking marital relationship, you married somebody else who was a Christian. If you married somebody else who were a Christian, then that means that they are a child of God and they are accountable to God, but you are accountable to God concerning how you deal with them. So my dealing with you is not just about dealing with you. It's dealing with God. Because God paid for them just like he paid for you. And he said concerning them, just like he says concerning you, anybody who does them wrong, I'm going to handle. Whether you in the family or not. And if y'all grew up with families like I grew up, you understand that it doesn't matter whether big brother did something to little brother or somebody outside the family did something to little brother. Daddy's going to handle anybody that is mistreating little brother or little sister, because that's his family. And so we've got to think in those terms that, hey, we're answering. We are accountable to God for him, for her. See, in order to be able to do that, though, we've got to have a relationship that's strong enough with Daddy to be able to discern the Spirit of God and what he's saying concerning our brother or sister in the Lord. And we've got to have a relationship that's strong enough to be clear on, again, what's our place? What's our responsibilities? We've got to do the work again, and we've got to know the difference so that we're not quenching the Spirit. What does that mean? To put out, to hush. When God's speaking, are we like, eh? We putting a break on that? Yeah, I got something I want to do. Yeah, you know, I'm going to have more fun over here. If we're doing that ourselves, it becomes harder to judge if somebody else is clearly listening to the Lord. And then more than likely, we are going to do somebody wrong. And then we're going to have to get our spanking. However that spanking looks like. Sometimes it might be a hold on your money. Sometimes it might be a hold on your opportunities. Sometimes it might be a canceling of a dream that you've been working for and you got there and now the door just won't open. Because God's in charge of opening all doors and closing all doors. It's all His. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is His Lord's in all of its fullness, including the people in it." So we've got to keep in mind that, hey, no matter what's going on, we've got to answer for everybody and everything on this planet to Him. Now, beyond that, we've also got to consider verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 7. And it talks about, let everybody hang out according to their assignment. Again, assignment has to do with whether you're single or whether you're married, because that's the context of the passage. So you've got to know what's your assignment, because it's like the military. Once you enter the military, you don't get to determine what you think is the most fun place to be. You go where they have instructed you to go, and you maintain your post there. My brother, can I have the tissue, please? Thank you much. You hang out there. So if he says for you to be single, Paul says don't look for a wife. Don't look for a husband. But if he says for you to be married, he says, don't try to go get your freedom back. Understand what the will of the Lord is for you and then hang out there. Because verse 19 again lets us know that it's about keeping the command of the Lord. It's not about any other activity. The activities are all side effects. Anything else going on is a side effect, but keeping the command of the Lord is what ultimately matters, and it's what's going to make the difference on Judgment Day. Now, why are we saying all this? Well, verse 32 through 35, verse 32 specifically says, hey, I don't want you to have concern. What's concern? It's you spending mental energy that takes up from you participating in your purpose. And verse 35, he says, I'm also saying this for your benefit. Why? See, he wants you to operate again in that John 10:10 abundant life, full of joy, full of peace, full of freedom. See, all of this leads to a place where you have the ability to make adult decisions. Because that's what maturity is. Maturity means you are responsibly taking the tools, resources, and information available to you and making decisions that are appropriate for your situation in life. And so, Here's just realistic information Paul lays out, verse 33 and 34, that single folks and married folks have different levels of focus. Single folks can do a whole lot of stuff. Married folks can do a whole lot of stuff. But married folks and single folks can't do the same stuff the same way. Actually, verse 33 and 34 lets us know that married folks have to multitask. You can't just look at what you want to do. You got to consider what's best not only for you, but what's best now for your spouse. And if you got kids, them too. So give you an example concerning myself. It talked about how And I lived in Africa. Actually, by God's grace, I've lived on 5 continents. Because I told y'all I wanted to push it to the limit. I wanted to find out whatever was possible. I wanted to go. I wanted to travel. I wanted to see. I wanted to work. I wanted to have as much of an experience of life because God said it was available to me. So why not? And guess where the seed was planted? Right here in youth. Because they read scripture and I was like, if that's the case, why not? What's stopping? Well, here's the deal. You've got to make some choices along the way, just like I had to make choices along the way about what was appropriate in different seasons. I'm married. I've got kids and grandkids. But before that, I knew it was best for me not to be married because I've gone places and said, I'm going to live here stay here and hang out with these folks for 6 weeks. And then I'm going to go there and hang out with these folks for 6 weeks. And then I'm going to go over here and do this. But if I got toddlers and all that, trying to do all that, that's not necessarily a good situation for them. Let alone that's extra stress for me. But that reality is, in making that decision, you have to know the time and season and what God's doing. I always knew I was supposed to be married. But when that happens, you got to work out with the Lord. And have you again done the work in preparing? Now, Luke 14, Jesus lays out a message. He says, nobody begins to build a house without first figuring out if they got enough to actually finish it. That comes back to also doing the work. Because he says, if you don't have enough to finish and you don't take time to do the calculations, when you get in it, folks will laugh at you because you hadn't done the work. Another practical perspective is in doing the work, have you determined what you can handle? Because everybody brings different stuff in relationship. That's why it's necessary not only for you to get to know the individual, but get to know the people that are connected to the individual. What's going on with their family? What's going on with their friends? What's going on with their circle? Are they actually traveling in the same rhythms that you are? When I was picking up and going to Europe and going to Africa and going to South America, there were people rolling with me. But that's because that was something they were already doing. It wasn't necessarily the same folks that I was rocking with when I was in high school. But there were a couple that were going with me up until a point. Then there were some folks that changed when I finished college. And different folks. But again, from the relationship dynamic, I learned something. I was doing the work in terms of preparing, understanding relationships dynamics with men and women during that time. But we had to do the work. Coming down to verse 35. He says, the goal is that you know what appropriate operation is in your life. See, Ephesians 4 says, the reason the church has different leadership is to equip you so that you can respond appropriately in the time of need. Appropriately with the right information, appropriately with the right tools. That's why you come to youth. That's why you have different leaders and stuff, so that we can give you what's necessary based upon experience and the Word of God. I know I've said a lot. So let me come back around and give it to you real simply again. You got to know yourself and where you are gifted by God to stand. You got to know you before you can get to know somebody else. You got to know what your assignment is. You have to do the work for you before you discuss getting into relationships. But then even when you do get into relationships, before you get into committed, intimate relationships, you got to take advantage of the relationships that are around you to know what it means to be a good friend, what it means to be trustworthy, what it means to keep your word consistently, even to you. Can you trust you to follow through? Also, all of this is talking about what's necessary, because ultimately you're going to have to make a choice. As it relates to any relationship, really, you're going to be making choices constantly. And when you're called on to make these choices, have you just heard this? Have you just heard about, okay, what's a good relationship? Or actually done something with it, exercised, so that you're able to actually choose well in the moment? But none of that matters if you don't have the first relationship. Because you can't get your assignment from God if you don't have a relationship with God, because he's not speaking to you like that. He's only speaking to you about the relationship. He's starting there first. You can't hear him whisper what's good for you if you're not talking with him. You can't get to that next level of opportunity if you aren't intimately digging in with him concerning how he made you, what he purposed you for, and why he's allowing all these things. Because you sung this morning, hey, it's working for your good. Well, why is he letting you go through something that may be challenging and is working for your good? You hear all of those elements, all of those principles, all of those intimate details once you're in relationship. And so the first thing I want to do is, just in case you don't have the relationship, give you an opportunity to get the relationship so that you can find out the rest, because, hey, membership has its privileges. Being in the family means you get access to the family stuff. But if you're outside the house, well, you might be able to see some stuff that's going on through the window. But that's all you're going to do, is you're just going to see it. You can't experience it. And so for anybody who doesn't have a personal relationship with God right now, I ask that you bow your head. Actually, we all gonna bow our heads. And if you do have a personal relationship with God, ask now that it would become more intimate as I pray. Father, we come to you just thanking you again that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to be able to die on a cross and act as our substitute when we failed to determine what was good and chose to do things that did not honor and glorify you. Because of that, Lord, you said that Jesus was then the way through a relationship with him to have access to everything in life pertaining to godliness. You said all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were found in him. So, Father, I ask that in this room, if there's anybody who doesn't know you, that you would bring them into the light, and they, as the Holy Spirit touches their heart, would be willing to engage you and maybe someone else in this room, whether a youth worker or another youth, concerning the decision to choose Christ in relationship, so that they can learn what good relationship looks like as a result of learning who they are and being able to know who else is in good relationship with you. This we ask in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. And so if you have made that decision, please just don't walk out of this room like it's just another decision. Talk to somebody, because that's another dynamic of relationship. You speak on the things that are necessary to speak about. You just don't let stuff pass. That's how you move forward. So the way that this makes a difference for you is that you do something with it. Don't let it just be something that you heard. Don't let any message in this room be something that you just heard. Because let me tell you something interesting about the Bible. Most of the stuff in the Bible doesn't make sense until it's time that you did something with it. It doesn't fully compute. And even if you think you got it on the surface, once you actually do something with it, all of a sudden a whole new world of possibility opens up. A whole new world of power opens up. And a whole new world of potential opens up. But that's because faith is an action word. That's why they say walk by faith. Not stand by faith. Not think by faith. Not agree, but walk by faith, because it's an action word for you to do something with the word that you are operating in faith on. Brother Isaac?
All right. Thank you, Brother Claude. That was some good reminders, even for myself. But before we move on from the message, and we'll probably do some Q&A with Brother Claude and have some of you share some takeaways. Raise your hand if you made a decision today to commit to Jesus Christ, that you want that relationship with God first. If you made that decision, please raise your hand. We want to connect with you, okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Praise God. For everyone who is in this room, also, if you need prayer for anything, if you're struggling, maybe you're struggling with your relationship with God and therefore struggling with your relationship with yourself. Maybe you don't know who you are and you're trying to figure that out. And that's one thing that as teenagers, you know, that's typical to struggle with, because you're figuring things out. You're growing and you're hormones are changing, your body's changing, you're encountering older people, you're struggling. And so if that's you today and you want to know who you are and whose you are, you need prayer for something, maybe it's your family, whatever you need, young people, we're here every Sunday, every Wednesday, because we want to minister to you and to your needs. So if you need something, if you need to have a conversation with someone about something that you're struggling with, we want to pray for you and encourage you, okay? So if that's you today, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. If you just need prayer, you just need encouragement, you need something to help you keep going. 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand, okay? If you need prayer, you need encouragement, Kingdom Service, let's take these two and this one right here, and praise God. They say the church is like a hospital. It shouldn't stay like that, but it's a hospital where you come and you get healed. We pray for one another so that we will be healed. Okay? Take them to the side over there and pray for them and encourage them. Okay? While they're headed over there, let me get two young men and two young women to share takeaways before we do a Q&A with Brother Claude. Okay, I need two. Come on, Jaylen. Okay. All right, we got one young lady. Okay. You got your hand? Come on, sir. All right, we need one more young man, one more young woman. Come on over here. Come on, Raquel. All right, y'all clap your hands for them. You come over this side, Jackson. We got one, Raquel. You want to stand over there? It's okay. All right, so what was your takeaway? We'll start with you, Mr. Jackson.
My takeaway was basically just to have a relationship with God and myself and make sure that, like, we're good before I take care of anything else, because, like, just even looking back in the Garden of Eden, like we were talking about, like, Adam, he was walking with God in, like, the cool of the garden, and he was complete. Like, in fact, God took, like, a rib out of his body to make Eve. Like, but before that, he was complete, and, like, he was just walking with God, and he was cool. So I just learned to just take care of myself and take care of my relationship with God before I do anything else, and just to make sure that I'm fulfilled in him and that I'm complete in him before I do anything else. So, yeah.
So basically with me, the most thing that got me was, like, when he said the husband is supposed to find the wife, that really got me, because most women these days, they're, like, desperate, or I need to get my man, or I need to get him, or he's looking at me, so I need to get for him. And me personally, I'm not the type to do that. If it's really meant to be, you will find me, and God will let me know, like, hey, this is the one. So that's what really stuck out to me.
Clap your hands for her. All right, my brother. What did you learn today?
What I learned from me was something that happened to me a few weeks ago, actually, with me and my relationship. I learned that you got to get yourself first before you actually move on with a relationship. Make sure you're focused on God, because men, you are supposed to lead your wives, including girlfriends, you know. You're supposed to lead, bro. Like, lead. Get yourself in check. Please. Please get yourself in check before you do anything. So make sure that you're focusing yourself on God, and make sure that you got yourself first. Whatever issues you got going on, focus on that, because it will slip out and project on them as well. So just make sure you get yourself in check. Make sure you talk to God about it and move forward. That's it.
My sermon takeaway was that it's important to know where you're at, especially, like, you can't start working on yourself if you don't first recognize where you're struggling. So you should know where you're at and then move from there into bettering yourself and replacing negative habits with positive habits.
Good. Give your hands up for them. All right.
Man, that was a good word right there.
Yes, it was. And I know I'm ready to put it into action in my life. And we want to encourage you to do the same.
There were so many gems in that message. So take what stood out to you and see how you can apply it to your life this week.
Let me pray for y'all before we go. Lord, we just thank you for this amazing day, and we thank you for bringing these viewers to us, Lord, so that way they can receive your word. I pray that you can be there with them every step of the way, every step that leads them closer to you and growing their journey and their path closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in with us. Make sure to log on next week at 11 a.m. Central. Till then, have a great week. God bless.
God bless.